Good morning, everybody. I have a question for you first, and what I want you to do, the instant I have declared the question, I want you to decide your answer. There isn't necessarily a right or a wrong answer, but I want your instant reaction to my question. Okay, I want a yes or a no straight away, without any prevarication. There is no room for anybody deciding that they're not deciding. You've got to give me a yes or a no. And the question is this. The question is it easy to live the Christian life? Hands up those who say yes.
Good old John.
Thank you, John. Hands up those who say no. I told you, you've got to answer. No choice. Okay. Right. Okay. Well, I didn't quite expect that. Okay. Now think about it again. Now you've had a think. No. It's in my notes. It's in my notes. It said I would give you a moment now to think about it, to see if you wanted to change your mind, make a different response to the question, is it easy to live the Christian life? Because you don't look as though you're totally struggling with it all of you, apart from John. So, I'm asking the question again. Anybody want to change their mind? Put your hand up if you wish to change your mind. Okay, right, okay. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that the correct answer is to say no, aren't you? You're thinking. Okay, fair enough. Whatever. Well, you see, when I started thinking about that question, my first reaction was to think to myself, well, actually, yeah, it is easy to live the Christian life. It's a natural thing, full of the Holy Spirit. It's straightforward enough, you know. It's not that difficult. And then I started to think a bit more. And I thought, well, for me, perhaps it was quite easy, because I was one of those fortunate people. I did have a very easy start, as far as Christians are concerned, being brought up in a Christian home, a family who really loved the Lord from the moment I was born. Therefore, I was in that kind of atmosphere, so perhaps that makes it easier. My parents were godly folk, and then in my own family, it seemed to be reasonably straightforward and so on. And of course, the thing that I suddenly thought, I'm always being encouraged by Molly never to dwell on the tough bits. See, if I ever start to moan and groan a little, I don't do it very often, obviously. But if I do, I do get rebuked severely. And then, you see, I thought about my question to you, and I thought, because I do occasionally think about the tough times, and I suppose when I think about it, there have been some very tough times for me, personally, as trying to live the Christian life, or living the Christian life, not trying, perhaps. And we've made some sacrifices on the way, but I tend to forget those because God has been so incredibly good to us that we really think of the sacrifices we've made because we've been so incredibly blessed. And even in my present circumstances, I guess everybody does know in this room, but just in case, I'm having this bit of a battle with prostate cancer. Now, God says I'm going to win every round. But do you know, there are times when it's actually quite hard to believe that. You know, I can stand and say that's the official version. You know, God said it. In 2007, he said to me, you're about to enter the biggest fight of your life and you're going to win every round. And at the time, I thought, well, there's a few things irritate me, but I can't see what the biggest fight of my life is. And then a few years later, when it came round, I forgot what God had said. And I was praying other things in the same prophetic word, but then suddenly I'm reminded. And so, but you see, it's all very well having these prophetic words, and it's quite difficult actually being a Christian who believes in a supernatural God when you're facing something like that, and then suddenly you finish up having to have some help from the medics. And you're going through, and I'm thinking, well, what's going on? I need radiotherapy to get me through, and yet I'm believing God's going to heal me. What's going on? And I'd quite like one of those supernatural instant healings where I knew it was all dealt with, but I haven't got one. Not yet, anyway. And I don't know how many rounds there are in this fight. I'm told if it's an amateur fight, there are only three rounds. So I've got a sneaking suspicion that God's treating me like a professional. And I don't know how many rounds they have. How many rounds do they have? 15? Oh, crumbs, I don't want to be one of those. Fair enough. Anyway, now you all have, or have had at times, your own situations of challenge. Now, for some people who had a tougher start in life than I did, who had not always been Christians, every so often there are certain things out of your history that might come back and trouble you. There are situations where there were things you always wanted to do, and you look around and you see other people doing them and you can't. And you think, well, that's not easy. And you feel almost left out. And then there are life's tragedies for which we have no explanation. But they seem to challenge our belief in a loving God. It's difficult. Jeff Lucas, in his Bible reading notes a few weeks ago, he put it like this. He does every so often, refer to other preachers. This is how he described it. He said, the preacher was working up a real head of steam, insisting that God had an early warning system in place to help people such as him avoid trouble in life. The Holy Spirit tells me when there's likely to be conflict, need or disease, and I soar on the thermals of faith, rising above it and avoiding it altogether, said the preacher. Jeff says, I don't buy that. To be honest, I agree with him. And a quick glance at the New Testament, and the Old for that matter, shows us that faith was not proven and refined by the avoidance of trial, but by endurance and trust in the midst of it. Jesus promised us trouble in this world. Peter insists that trouble is the furnace in which solid gold faith is being purified. So what do that preacher's slick slogan say to those who find themselves in the middle of tragedy? It's not straightforward, is it? It's not straightforward. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. Good news. He did also say, in this world, you will have trouble, but fear not, or but take heart, depending which version you... For, says Jesus, I have overcome the world. Must make sure we get the good news in with the bad. Peter put it like this. Be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being treated as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honour on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Little glimpses like that, they keep me on track. That there's going to be a day when I'm standing before God. Now, I know when I stand before God, there's no argument about whether I'm going to heaven or not. That's all dealt with. Jesus did that. But on the other hand, I have a sneaking suspicion there's going to be some kind of conversation. And God's going to say to me, what about that, Graham? So it spurs me on to think that the different possibilities that God puts before me, I want to achieve well. Because this idea of on that last day, standing before God, it does matter. That's one of the things that keeps me on track. I always have been a bit like that. You know, my mum always used to say to me, you know who can see you, even if I can't. Well, you know, I've laughed and joked about that one often, but the thing is, it's true. Everything I do, you know, you can't sneak a quick bit of sin in and think God hasn't noticed. Some people might like to, but you can't do it. So, as I've already said, because Matt asked me, my title this morning is Disciples Persevere and Endure. Disciples Persevere and Endure. And by the way, this is good news. It's not bad news, it's good news. They're two different words, but they are actually associated quite closely, particularly in the context when we're talking about disciples doing it. Perseverance, according to the dictionary, is continued steady belief or efforts withstanding discouragement or difficulty. Continued steady belief. Persevere. You can persevere in what you believe or you can persevere in what you do. And sometimes you'll be doing the same things together. So perseverance is a steady belief or effort which withstands discouragement or difficulty. It presses right through. So to persevere, it means we're going to hold on to our beliefs, remain in faith, press on with the effort and choice of living the Christian life, despite the discouragements and difficulties that may come our way. The word endure, as far as the dictionary is concerned, it says endure means to undergo, without yielding. So to undergo hardship, to undergo pain, to undergo strain, to undergo restriction. You can put the names in your words in the middle there, but to endure means to undergo those things. In other words, those things happen to you, but actually they happen, but you do not yield. That's what endurance is, okay? And you can see why I'm saying that the words persevere and endure are so very similar. Enduring does imply tough times. Something not easy to handle, perhaps something unpleasant or challenging, yet without giving in. You see, the word persevere you can interpret as a very positive word. Persevere means that we press on regardless, a wholehearted, positive expression. Whereas on the other hand, endure definitely seems to lead us to expect that there will be tough times which we'll have to press through. Not just persevering with the good things. So I can persevere with my prayer life, for instance. I can persevere in my Bible reading. I can persevere in my attempts to always be positive in my conversations with others. I can persevere in consistently demonstrating a quality lifestyle of integrity in my church, in my work situation. It's an endless list. You can persevere in all sorts of good things that you think are important that you want to achieve. You can fill in the gaps as much as you like. You know what I mean. And there will be some things in your lives where you have actually, even if you haven't used that word, you are persevering. You've decided, actually, I want to get through there. I'm going to keep pressing on, whatever it might be. So there might be somebody in your workplace who consistently irritates you. But actually, you're persevering to be positive towards them. It's a pressing on forward. You've determined. Why have you determined that way? Because you believe that's what God wants of you. That's perseverance. That's positive. But the endurance element comes in when there's something tough, when there's something challenging, where I may have to press through with gritted teeth or with questions, but knowing that God wants me to push through. Now, I must confess, I did actually think there'd be more than one person saying it was easy to live the Christian life. I really did. I didn't realise you were all finding it so tough. Because in one sense, it is easy to live the Christian life, most of the time. Because if you are full of the Holy Spirit, if he is directing you every step of the way, then your natural reaction increasingly becomes to do the right thing. You don't have to stop and question every little action. They become the natural course of events, don't they? So I would say that in one sense, it is easy to live the Christian life. Because the more we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the more we get on with it. And we make choices. And the more you make the right choices, the more it becomes natural. I've often said it at weddings, that the word love is nothing to do with the gooey feelings or the particular attractions or anything like that. It's all to do with choice. You determine to love. And if you make a commitment, as Will and Liz did yesterday, part of that commitment is choosing never to look in another direction. That's a choice. Now, for some people, it's not a problem. For other people, it possibly is. But the more you've made that choice, and if you've made the choice long before the temptation comes, it's an easy, straightforward thing. So, do you see what I mean? So, in some ways, the Christian life should not be marked down as a real tough thing to do. I actually do believe that once you are full of the Holy Spirit, once you've seen where you're going, the Christian life increasingly becomes a natural thing. But I also know that it has its tough moments. I also know that those times, not just to do with temptations, but when there are things you can't understand. When there's something happening at the other side of the world and you're thinking, why on earth does God let that happen? Or when it happens round the corner to you, you're there saying, but God, this doesn't feel right. Because Clegg read that great psalm at the beginning, but the psalmist had this nasty habit of saying, if you do it all right, all will be well. But just smack those others that are misbehaving. Message version, that is. But actually, God doesn't always do that. Have you noticed? Sometimes the people who've done it really wrong, they seem to get through easily. So I'm not suggesting this is an easy one at all, but I am suggesting that it isn't a simple question either, but disciples do persevere and endure. And at particular times, there's more perseverance and more endurance required than at others. Let me read you a few things of what the Bible says about this. The Bible, throughout, it does seem to me to suggest that there's an expectation that endurance will be necessary. I don't think you've got to be blinkered to read the Bible and read the stories of the great men and women of God and not come to the conclusion that there's going to be a need for endurance and perseverance and it's not going to be all a walk in the park. But the Bible also seems to me to say that it's not beyond you and me. It is not an impossibility here we're talking about. It's not something where you are bound to fail. This is what Paul says in the beginning of his letter to the Colossians. Beginnings of Paul's letters are always interesting because he's really encouraging when he starts his letters. You read them again and he tells folk how great they are and he tells them how he's constantly praying for them. And sometimes there's a bit of something coming in afterwards, especially when he's writing to the Corinthians. But this is to the Colossians, and he's done his little introductory bit, and then he says, we also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. Every one of these verses I found, if there's reference to endurance and perseverance, you'll find there's also reference to joy. There's also reference to delight. There's also reference to discovering something which actually is the good news, even in the tough bit. When Paul writes to Timothy, in part of his instructions to his assistant Timothy, he says, but you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Interesting combination. And in his second letter, by the way, he tells him to expect persecution if he tries to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. Expect it, he says. Now, if Paul's writing to the Colossians and saying, we also pray that, we've got to assume, I think, that he's praying in line with what God wants. So therefore, when you read a prayer like that, you should assume that God's answer's yes. So therefore, if he's praying, we pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you'll have all the endurance and patience you need, may you be filled with joy, God's going to say yes. So actually, the promise here that I'm unearthing from this is that all the endurance and perseverance and patience you will need is available to you. It is available. Another thing the Bible makes ever so clear is the value of perseverance and endurance. Quite a number of these scriptures explain how beneficial it is to you and to others that having to go through a process which requires endurance or perseverance is actually, well, it's almost necessary for your spiritual development as disciples. And there's some indication as to how we should respond to it as well. See, most of us by nature would choose to avoid it if we could, wouldn't we? You know, we avoid the tough stuff, if it's at all possible. Even Jesus did that. Right at the end of his life, he says to his Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless. So if Jesus could ask it, it's okay. So, you know, I'm asking God, I don't want 15 rounds if it's all right with you. Could we finish this fight off in another, you know, well, one would be nice. But God's with me, whatever. Here's what Paul says to the Romans. We can rejoice too. It's rejoicing again, you see, when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop endurance. Problems and trials help you to develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. That's good news. But it actually says that these problems and trials, the first step in that process of developing all those good things in your life. So we would be wise, probably, not to ask God if we can avoid them all, because if we do avoid them all, we're going to miss out on the character building elements of life that God wants to give us. In his second letter to the Thessalonians, Paul asks for the prayers of his readers, but then he encourages them with these words: "But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. And we are confident in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we commanded you. May the Lord lead your hearts into a full understanding and expression of the love of God and of the patient endurance that comes from Christ." It comes from the Lord. This endurance, in other words, it's not, I've just got to grit my teeth and do it. God is working with you and me in every element of this. There are some trials and tribulations come, but actually this capacity to endure, this capacity to press through, comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Writer of the Hebrews, beginning to chapter 12, he says this: "Run with perseverance." In fact, it depends which translation you read. One translation says, "Run with perseverance the race God has set before you." Another one says, "Run with endurance the race set before you." So in that context, these words get even closer and closer. James begins his very practical letter with these words, reading this particular bit from the Message. It says, "Consider it as a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides." Is that what you do? When tests and challenges come at you from all sides, thank God. Consider, it is incredibly generous of him. "You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colours." So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Peter's second letter, he says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." I don't know about you. I don't want to be ineffective or unproductive, do you? We don't want to be ineffective as Christians. We don't want to be unproductive. And when you've been on the track as long as I have and you look back and you think, I wish I'd got a bit more on my score sheet. Wish that I'd been more effective in certain situations. If you're going shopping in Morrison's over the next week or so, there's a young man with long blonde hair on the tills. Now, he was there yesterday. I don't know how often he's there. But I just suggest when you go in there, just mention you come to Ashwood Church. Because Molly and I had this feeling as we chatted with him about church. We went dressed in our full wedding regalia to do a little bit of shopping between the first bit of the wedding and the second bit. And we were going through the till, and I can't remember how it came up. How did it come up? I don't know. Anyway, at some point I did remark that I don't normally dress this way to do my shopping. And he said, I didn't like to say, he said, because sometimes people come in dressed up. It usually means they're either going to a wedding or have been to a funeral. So I didn't want to get it wrong, he says. So we went on talking with him for a moment, and then I can't remember, somehow or other he said something about why were we there, what was our connection. So I told him that I was the leader of the church and I was part of it, and then we started to tell him where he would find Ashwood Church on a Sunday morning. This isn't quite a Tesco moment, but, you know, Molly kept pushing it to see if it could be. And well, you know, we try. So, but then he said, he said, I do believe in a power. So we said, yeah, we know him. And Molly said, we talk to him quite a lot. And then we said, you'd be welcome any time you like. But Molly thought, as we came out, you know, if he met half a dozen people who all said they were going to Ashwood Church, you never know, he might come. But why did I say that? There's nothing to do with this, is it? It's not in my notes. Yeah. Oh, no, I know why I've mentioned it. Because I don't want to be ineffective and unproductive. I don't want to be ineffective and unproductive. And that can happen in all sorts of ways, can't it? But together, you see, I think God's got in front of you and me an opportunity to make a major difference to our community, like perhaps we've not seen for a long, long time. So it's really important. So, yes, there's going to be some endurance. Yes, there's going to be a need for some perseverance. But actually, what comes out of it the other end is truly remarkable. Now, if you want an easy life where it all goes right, where you think God will make sure it all goes well for you, then you'll almost certainly be disappointed. I'm sorry about that. I do believe God answers prayers, but sometimes he says no. I wish he wouldn't, but that's the case. Now, over and over again, we are told that we will face troubles in this world, and indeed that if we follow Jesus, we're likely to face some of the persecutions he faced. And let's face it, none of us have faced anything remotely like what Jesus faced at this point in time. Persecution's a far stronger word than you and I have ever suffered, I think. We've also noticed previously that throughout the Bible, we can't find a single big name who didn't face troubles of some kind, usually big troubles, before reaching the things God had in store for them. On the other hand, we find such phrases as, consider it pure joy. Over and over again. In fact, every one of those things I've read you this morning, I think, has this sense that, yes, you're going to have to endure, but consider it joy. It's good news. God has in his plan that the enduring that we have to do will indeed benefit us and hopefully those around us too. I don't think that means we should go looking for trouble. I don't advise that. I really don't think that you should go looking, see if I can find a quick trial and a bit of tribulation because it's going to do me good. Don't recommend that at all. But what I do say is that when it comes, with the help of the Holy Spirit, the gifts that he's given us that we were talking about last week and so on, and those great folk that he's put around us, we persevere and endure. Okay? 2 Thessalonians 3 says, as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what's good. Never tire of doing what's good. So, my message this morning, let's endure. Let's persevere. Let's press on to see the kingdom of God come. Okay? Now, I think actually it's really good news. You see, I'm still not certain what my right answer to my first question is, really. Because actually, living the Christian life is great. Is it not? And it's not something we do because we reluctantly have to. If it is, you've not got a measure of it right. You really haven't. You know, if it's hard work all the time, then you need an extra dose of the Holy Spirit. It is not hard work all the time to live God's way. But every so often, it is tough, isn't it? And every so often, it poses questions that you have not got answers to. That is okay. Don't try and come up with an answer to everything that hasn't got an answer. It's pointless. Don't come up with some little trite explanation. They're not there because there are things. I've got some questions to ask God if he ever gives me the opportunity to do so. Because there are quite a lot of things I don't understand, even in to do with my own trials and tribulations, let alone anything else. But it is not It's not bad news. You're going to have your tough bits. You're going to have to persevere. You're going to have to endure. But actually, it is at the more of the Holy Spirit you've got in you, the more naturally you live the Christian life. So next time I ask you the question, is it easy? Perhaps easy is the wrong word. Perhaps easy was the wrong word. But I'd like you to be a little bit more positive next time I ask you about, you know, how you're doing with living the Christian life. You know, I don't want you to say, oh, Graham, it's terrible, it's terrible. No, 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 no. It isn't terrible, is it? It isn't, Jill, is it? No, it's not. Thank you. I agree. Good, good. Okay, I'm winding. In fact, I've wound. Well, praise God.